Of Kofar Bikadon, Kofar Bikadon Bishvua, Shlichos Yad, and Telling Tanis Ganov, and we're trying to complete that today. Whatever we don't complete today, well, either way, I want to run through the Shakla Vitaria, the Gemara, till Samach Hamad Aleph, which is Samach Gimelam and Beis is about Telling Tanis Ganov and continues to be about Psukim. So I'm going to run through that quickly. I want to get to Samach Hamad Aleph, if we can, tomorrow. So that you should begin preparing that, and then I'll give you more marmakomos in terms of the other part of the sugya, the kepel dalad b'kishas amad b'din. I'll give you in a couple of days, and then tavar b'shas. So there are very big topics on samach hay and samach vav, samach zayin. That's where all the big issues come up. And then, of course, shini kona and the various permutations of that, and yirsh kona, so that these are the topics. The big Gneva Gzela topics are really upon us. In any case, what we've been discussing is these permutations. We've finished our discussion for now. I say these are all works in progress of Kofar Pikadon and Shlichos Yad, but we are in the middle of discussing the question of Toein Tanas Ganav, and that's directly apropos of our Gemara here. And especially the next Amud, the Shakla Vitaria, about the relationship between Gneva and Toein Tanas Ganav, and the circumstance of Toein Tanas Ganav, and the role of Shvua and specifically Tainas Gneva in Toein Tanas Ganav. So let's move back into that issue and try to clarify it as much as we can. The last thing that we were discussing was the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid in Perigdalid Hilchos Gneva Halacha Yud. The Rambam says that a Shomer Shoganav is Chayiv Kefel, as we already discussed, and the Ravid disagrees and says Ein B'dvarav, something like Ein B'dvarav Klo, which is unfortunately a very vague. Again, the Rambam says Shomer Shoganav Meshusa Kagon Shoganav Tle Me'eder Shehufkad Etzlo Hesela, excuse me, Mikis Shehufkad Etzlo Im Yeshal of Edim Chayiv Kefel. That part is not our issue at the moment. So the Rambam Shita is that there is Gneva for a shomer. And the Ravid says, Omer Avram, ze eino klum. Okay. So what does ze eino klum mean? Seem to cover a lot of territory, and what is the nature of the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid? So, what we tried to suggest the other day is that the argument between the Rambam and the Ravid seems to revolve, at least in part, around the relationship between Gneva and Shmira, and to what extent a Shomer can be a Ganav. So let me just clarify that a little bit better on both sides. For the Ravid, it appears that let's take a step back. The first thing is, since the Ravid says Ein Bazek Klum, I say that covers a lot of territory. We just don't know exactly how far he goes. Does he mean that there is no Chiyuv under these conditions? Does he mean just that there's no Kefel? Would the Ravid agree that a Shomer who Shegonav as a Chayfetz is in violation of Oshek? Right, it's ba biyado behetera. Okay, but he's doing something to the object. He's trying to steal it. Is that oshek? Not clear. Is it gezel? Maybe there's no gneva. There's no kefel. Maybe the problem is either it's not considered bitzina because he knows exactly what he's doing, even if the bailim don't know what he's doing, and he's the person from whom the object was taken, from whose rishus the object was taken on some level, or is it a problem that it's not considered a ma'isa hotzom rishus abaylim, but where you don't need the factors of tzina or hotzom rishus abaylim, or you need them less, you need them maybe formally, but not in a more acute form, maybe for gzela purposes, in other words, this would be enough. So we're not sure. What about oshek? What about gezel? Certainly no kefa. Okay. But why? So I think that it seems obvious that the problem is that there's no gneva mirshus habaylim. But why there's no gneva mirshus habaylim perhaps could be said in different ways. And that's what the Baruch Dov was qualifying my comments the other day. And the more I think about it, it seems to be correct. And that is that there are two opposite ways to explain the Ravid Shita. One way is that he remains too much of a shomer. That's how he explained it originally. In other words, he's taking the object from one pocket and putting it into another pocket, because the object from where, the place from where, the location from where he takes it is an embassy of the Bailim, but it's an embassy of the Bailim because he's a shomer. And that aspect of his shmirah remains, so he's basically moving it from one embassy to another embassy. That's one explanation of the Ravid. But one could say the opposite. Noah was suggesting this also after Shir, and that is, it's not so much that he remains a shomer and therefore he hasn't done a maisot somrishus abaylim because it remains tachas shmiraso on some level, but maybe the opposite. Maybe by acting like a ganav instead of acting like a shomer, what he's done is he has completely eliminated the embassy. So that basically, when he takes the object, he's taking an object which is neither in the rishus of the shomer nor in the rishus of the bailim. So it doesn't qualify for vigunav mi besa ish. Again, that might work better if it's only a kefel and gneva problem. It's not clear that same requirement stands for gzela and for karen. Right? That's an issue that we raised on the very first time we read the Mishnah. Right? That's a discussion with Mishonim that we had subsequently Rabbi Wasserman brings it up in Kovet Shurim. Right? What is the problem of the Gunim Beisaish? I mentioned the Gemara in Gozel Amachil. Ratzim is Rav Chizas Halacha, that's Ratzim Bizegove, Ratzim Bizegove. It's quite possible that Gzela doesn't have this requirement of the Gunim Beisaish. So even the issue that we raised before, does the Ravid think there's Oshek? Does he think there's Gezel? Does he think that there's only not Kefel? What does he think? Maybe dependent upon these perspectives. But these two explanations, either of them will explain Shitas HaRavid. Either the problem is he still remains too much of a shomer, and therefore there's no Maisig Neva, or the problem is he has completely eradicated his Shem Shomer to such an extent that the object was not taken from Rishus HaBayim. Okay. But if that's true, so then, looking back at the Rambam, this was, Noam was trying to raise this question, I stick by what I said, but Noam now tells me that he looked in Rabbi Reichman's Sefer, the Shiur of the Rav on Bava Kama, and that Reb Chaim also says something like this for the Rambam, but we'll try to get the exact Nusach tomorrow. That basically the Rambam has to hold that there is something in between these two extremes that is happening. On the one hand, he has removed his Shem Shomer sufficiently that there is a Maisig Neva here. And that's what the Rambam himself speaks about Kasa Shemirasa. That's the point of the Rambam. He's not so much of a Shomer that, you know, that when he takes the object from you know, with the intention of stealing it, that, you know, wherever he puts it, it remains in the embassy. And the Rambam himself says Kasa Shemirasa. But at the same time, we're also not saying that Gnevaso, Vahafkas, you know, Shmiraso, Boim Kiechad, to the point of saying that it's not Megunav Mibesaish. Because remember, the Rambam here is telling us not only that he's a Gazlan, but he's a Ganav, he's Gaev Kefa. So, according to the Rambam, it's clear that he took it from the embassy. So that means one of two things. I think it still leaves us with two options, but They're more complex than either extreme of the Ravid. The Rambam is essentially rejecting both of the extremes of the Ravid. But what the Rambam is saying could still be the following. He's wearing, I'll go back to my hat-wearing metaphor. When he puts on the hat of a ganav, you know, it fits on his head. One could have said that, you know, if you're wearing a shomer hat, then, it's not just a, you know, question of sartorial splendor. It's just, legally, you just can never fit a ganav hat on top of a shomer hat. According to the Rambam, that's not true. You can be a ganav, even though previously you had been wearing the hat of a shomer. I think the question becomes whether or not you can wear both hats at the same time, be two people at the same time. Or you're wearing, you know, essentially the point is that all we're not saying is that gnevaso v'hafkas shmiraso bo kiyachad, that it's considered ki'ilu a second before, you know, he wasn't a shomer either. This could be the shomer hat knocks off the god of hat. They don't stay, you know, perched, you know, perfectly atop the head of this, you know, strange man, this schizophrenic man, who's a ganav and a shomer. But the point is that, you know, that process itself, you know, overlaps for a second, so that he steals it, or maybe it doesn't even need to overlap, as long as it's not undermined, you know, in advance. Essentially, we don't say gnevas gnevaso the glay milsel mafreya shaloh haisa shmiraso aboim kiachad. So it's still the gunav mibesach. I think either of those explanations could work for the Rambam, and may have important repercussions for other issues that come up. Yeah.
Why would one assume that the shmira ends before the gnevah takes place? This is a very strange assumption.
Well, we do say those kind of things. We do say things like, you know, gitzo v'yada b'in kiyachad, and you know, gezelaso, you know, the, you know, you know, maisa kiddushin b'in kiyachad. But we found that those things are said. I mean, the second that he, I think there's another issue too, and this has to do with the general application of this idea of, you know, gita v'yada b'im kiachad, and that is, you know, it depends also the kind of action that we're talking about, and we have a right to ask this question about gneva too. Is it a, you know, looking forward or looking back, you know, kind of action? To what extent is gneva mostly about taking from, you know, or bringing into the Rishus HaGanav? And I think that's a big issue as well. The more you look at it, you know, as a past kind of action, rather than a future one, you know, I think you're right. I mean, what's the reason? Why not say at the split second he's not, until he did the Geneva, he was a shomer, so he took it from the embassy. The issue is where it's going, not you know, not where it came from. But the more you look at it as, you know, even before you do it, the question is, you know, where is it coming from and where are you removing it from? The more you anticipate the action before it happens, the more logical it is to say, Gnevaso v'yada b'in kiach, or Gita v'yada b'in kiach. I mean, the Xos is a different solution, which we talked about last year a lot. This is, you know, and that is that, you know, when you talk about a legal kinyan, maybe you shouldn't say ever simultaneity. If you talk about a physical action, you know, of like Nesina as opposed to Kenyan, then maybe you should. That's another solution. But when it comes to these, you know, catch 22, simultaneity, vicious cycle, you know, what came first, you know, can you anticipate? I think that there are different kind of legal actions themselves, and I think it's an open question whether in Gneva you anticipate before the action or you always work back from the action itself. And I think that may be part of the issue here as well. To sum up, Machlokes of the Rambam and the Ravid, which seems to be whether a shomer can be a ganav, is a complicated issue. For the Ravid's view, which is that at minimum it's no gneva, maybe not even gzela, it would we would be able to say one of two things: either that it wasn't the gunav mibeis ha'ish, because the anticipation, you know, the split second before already. You know, the beginning of the process of Gneva, if you want to call it, or the pre-process of Gneva, already terminates the Shmira and makes this no longer of a Gunav Mibeis HaIsh. That's one possibility. Or, on the contrary, he remains a Shomer and his schizophrenia isn't a complete schizophrenia, or maybe it is. Well, I guess I'm not a, you know, psychologist, I don't know. I don't know whether the schizophrenia is worse when it's total or worse when it's, you know, Yom Valayla, you know, Barvuvia. You know, probably not good either way. But, you know, it's that kind of a question. The Ravid is saying, basically, you know, you just can't get rid of the Shmira side of it, in which case is always going to be lacking a component that is necessary for the Gneva. And the Rambam will disagree and will either say, there can be gneva, you know, for a shomer, call it complete schizophrenia, if you want. But the point is, he remains a shomer le'inyan where the chevetz is taken from. He continues to be an embassy for the bailim, even though he no longer can act you know, in fact is a shomer. That's one possibility. Or, according to the Rambam, in Achanami, perching the Gneva hat on your head knocks out the Shmira hat, but it knocks it out, you know, after the first second, not before it, and therefore there still is the Gunam Beisish. Okay, that's the Rambam and the Raivad, I think, a better way, maybe, of explaining the Shita. So, two ways to explain it. Yeah.
Sivos has an interesting understanding of the Rambam. He makes it a very limited case, but he says that the Rambam is Vidyuk to Dafka say Tlemi Eder and Tlemi Kis because that's a Balar Miyachad Rishus. That
the bailim
that the kis becomes the rishus of the bailim. So when you're taking, even if you're not a shomer anymore.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe it's to solve that problem. But the Siva says it.
He says there's a he's prescribing a shah that says you're chayav dal v'hei in a case that doesn't seem to be hotzar rishus. So he said it's not the case of your miyachid bailim. That's why it's only tlemi eder and.
But is he also concerned about this problem? And that's what motivates it, or just happens to be?
I think between the lines, that's what he's asking. Yeah.
He's saying this question, which is, how can you have, why is it even considered a guna b'beis ha'ish?
Yeah,
if he's really mafkia, his shame shomer, so
or
it's taken.
Constantly shomer.
I mean, either of these extremes.
Yeah.
So his answer is because he's no longer, you don't need an embassy in this case because you were miyached. I mean, it doesn't sound like that's a pshat in the Rambam, but that's fascinating. It shows that the Nesivos was sensitive to this problem. Where's the Nesivos?
Shimim
Aleph Tes. Okay, so that's very important. We'll see in a minute, the Ar Sameach also suggests that this formulation of the Rambam is meduyak, very meduyak, but he has a very different explanation also, which I don't think is the simple reading of the Rambam, but I think it's also a very important idea, which we'll get to. So Yasha Kach, that's important. It shows at least we're on the right track in terms of what the issues, what the problems, what you need to, you know, finally balance here. Okay, that's one issue. The second issue was, I introduced the issue of the Magen Mishnah, and that is, well, how do you have the institution of Toin Tanis Ganav in light of the Rambam Shita that there is something called Gnevas HaShomer? So I was reading the Magen Mishnah's question based on the assumption that the Magen Mishnah would argue that for every Toin Tanis Ganav there has to be a kind of act of Gneva, or it has to be considered a Gneva prior to the Taina, and certainly prior to the Shavuah. And therefore, the Magen Mishnah was asking, if the Rambam is right, so what do you need, or how does it ever happen that you have Toin Tanis Ganav? So Baruch Dov came to me after Shir and quoted Joe, who pointed out that if you look at the language of the Magen Mishnah, it sounds like his question is more limited. Do you have it open? Or Baruch Dov, you have it? Yeah, just read it again, if you don't mind. The question. When he quotes the, Kavanasala, whatever. Stop. So if you just read that, it sounds like the Magen Mishnah is introducing a factor, he is either way introducing a factor into the Ravid that is not necessarily there. In other words, it's sufficient, we just spent 10 minutes trying to explain, you know, what the Rambam and Ravid argue about and how they're both essentially trying to, you know, to relate to a very subtle question, you know, about Shmira and Gneva and their interrelation and so on. As far as I'm concerned, you could read the Ravid without ever even thinking about what the Magen Mishnah is asking, which is, you know, one more time, Kavanas Devarav or whatever. Yeah. Right. I mean, the Ravid doesn't say that the, you know, the problem here is, you know, we only found Toin Tanis Ganav as Gnevas Shomer. We never found anything else. The objection could be a substantive one, and is that it's Lo Yitachein. You just don't have the Metzias for it. Now that might be a consequence. You know, therefore, the only time you'll ever get this Lamaisa happens to be Toin Tanis Ganav. But it doesn't sound like the Magen. Even if you don't explain it the way I was explaining, which is a little more extreme. I'm inclined to agree with them about the intentions of the Magen Mishnah. But either way, the Magen Mishnah is injecting an element of the Ravid that is not obvious in the Ravid at all. And that is that partially what bothers the Ravid is the need for the institution of Toin Tanis Ganav. I don't think that has to be true for the Ravid. However, what I was saying was that the Magen Mishnah is bothered by the whole institution. And the reason I thought he was bothered by it is because it sounds like some Rishonim are the opinion that Toin Tanis Ganav needs a previous act of Gneva. And that's not necessarily true. It could be that Toin Tana's Ganev is simply Aidei Tana U Shvua. That's how I understood the answer to the Kesed Mishnah. But if we continue reading the Magid Mishnah's question, Joe is correct, it is more circumscribed. Go ahead. Yeah, so it sounds like the Magid Mishnah's question is not as expansive as I had it, but rather he's simply bothered by the following problem. Why does the problem that the Gemara raises on Amud Beis, Samach Gimel Amud Beis, is where the Gemara says, how do you know the din of Toin Tanis Ganav? How do you know that it's only Tanis Ganav and not Tanis Avad? How do you know that it's only Bishvua and not simply Al Yedei Hataina? Right? Basic questions about Toin Tanis Ganav. So the Magid Mishnah's question seems to be focused on that second question. Why should it be, if the Rambam is right, that Toin Tanis Ganav requires a Shvua? Why wouldn't the Taina alone be sufficient to generate the Chiyuv? I found that to be a peculiar question, which is why I read it wrong, and read it to be a bigger question even. Right? But I, having looked at it several times since, I think they're right. And that is, that's what the Magid Mishnah is asking. But then the question is, so what's the question? What does one thing have to do with the other? What does the need for Shvua, as opposed to Taina, have to do with the Rambam's view that there is Toin, that there is a Gneva B'Shomer, Ma'inyan Echad L'Sheni? So Baruch Dov suggested to me, and I think he's right the more I think about it. Go ahead, Baruch Dov.
That maybe the Magid Mishnah felt that Kofr B'Kadon Nasal of Baslon is Mamsha.
Forget about it, don't say Kofr B'Kadon. Because Kofr B'Kadon becomes my question against you, which is, he's not asking about Kofr B'Kadon. So let's forget about that for a moment. Maybe I think there's another answer anyway to that problem. If Toin Tanis Ganav,
Tanis Ganav should become a Ganav too, because he's also effectively moving the object from the Rishus of the Baal to the Rishus of the Shomer in itself.
Right. In other words, let's just add one more point, which is, so what Baruch Dov is suggesting is, the Magid Mishnah also understood that the Ikar argument between the Rambam and the Ravid is about this, very fine equilibrium between, you know, how many hats you're wearing, whether you're wearing them at the same time, whether you have to take off one, you know, before you put on the other, or the one gets knocked off only once the other one gets put on your head, which is essentially what we're saying about, you know, Gita V'yadubayin Kiyachad, right? So the Magid Mishnah was sensitive to this as well, but the Magid Mishnah is so sensitive and sophisticated about it that he is just, you know, light years ahead of us, and he's asking a very interesting question. He's saying like this: if you hold, like the Rambam, that you can have Gneva, right, even though on some level you are still a Shomer, right, because you didn't have to take off the Shomer hat before you did the Gneva, and maybe it's still on, even once you've done the Gneva, although I'm not sure you have to go that far. If that's true, so maybe that should force us to completely reevaluate what a Maisa Gneva, which is Mechayev Kefel, really is, or at least for Shomer, right? Is that how you wanted to say it? Or am I taking...
Adding the new thing about the whole Shomer thing, right? I mean, he's the thing that once you're Kofer, you also effectively are removing your Shmira hat.
Right, in other words, since anyway there's no physical Hotzam or Shus HaBailim in this case, and I'm just adding, correct, and especially according to the Rambam, you have to walk this very fine line, unless you say something like the Nesivas that Joe just quoted. But then again, that takes it out of regular, that circumscribes the case completely. It doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. So you really have to say that according to the Rambam too is very sensitive and aware of the fact that there's a very fine line here. And that he remains, or at least, you know, for that split second, there's an overlap between his Shmira and his Gneva. But once that's true, doesn't that compromise the whole requirement of Maisa Gneva in Gneva? And if that's true, then why do you need Shvua for Toin Tanis Ganav? Why can't just the effort to steal the guy's object by effectively renouncing his Shmira, why doesn't that transfer the Rishus? Because if we were talking about a physical need of transfer of the Rishus, you don't have that anyway. You know, it's a, I live in this sprawling estate. That's what the chayfetz is. The chayfetz remains on that estate, or a little hovel. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever it is, it hasn't changed its, you know, physical rishus. It's changed its legal rishus, but not its physical rishus. What made it change its legal rishus? The actions that I took that renunciate legally my status as shomer in that very fine dance, right? So if that's true, the Magen Mishnah is asking, so why do you need a shvua? Why not just say Toing Tan is gone up alone? Right? So let's take it back one step. I think you'd have to add one other point to the Magen Mishnah, and that is Bishlomo, if you hold like the Ravid, right, and it's all or nothing. So then we could say that, you know, part of what the Ravid is saying is that you really require my Sotsom Rishus Abaylin. Right? For Geneva. So then we understand why Toing Tana's Ganav needs a Shvua, because in its own right, it doesn't really qualify as a Geneva. The only thing that makes it a Geneva is the Shvua part of it, essentially. Either that's the Maisa, or it's a Dinin, Shvuas HaShomer, you know, Shel Taina's Geneva, like I say, more of a Shomer Halacha, however you want to explain it. So the Magen Mishnah is saying, that would be fine. But since you really think that Shomer, and that the need for Maisa Geneva, you know, can be done legally and not necessarily physically, so then the Taina alone should work. One more time, just read the question. Well, he doesn't explain, but I think this is the subtext. Otherwise, it makes no sense to me. The answer is in Achanami. For the Magen Mishnah, the answer is in Achanami. But the Rambam here only means that other chiddush that the Magen Mishnah said. He only means to say this isn't shlichus yad. It doesn't ruin Toing Tana's ganav. He doesn't mean that it's gneva. The only gneva here is Toing Tana's ganav b'shvua. That's a huge and extreme chiddush of the Magen Mishnah. But now I think we understand much better, and I thank you both. We understand much better his question, and it reinforces the issue and the problem, the way we understood the Rambam and the Ravid before. Okay. However, now if that's the question, so and assuming the Kasid Mishnah understood the question that way, and I think he did. So read the Kasid Mishnah's answer. Kasid Mishnah simply points out. So when Baruch Do first told me this pshat, I said that doesn't make any sense. I mean, Magen Mishnah doesn't realize that there's a difference between physically taking the object and just, you know, being kofar even though it remains in your rishus. At least one case, you're doing a physical action of hotzah from, you know, from what was the embassy in your rishus to what's not the embassy in your rishus. And physical action makes all the difference in the world. So how could that be the question? And then it occurred to me that that's maybe exactly what the Kesem Mishnah is answering. And that is when I was reading the Magen Mishnah the other way, which was the whole institution of Toin Tanis Ganav is unnecessary because every case of Toin Tanis Ganav is already a case of Gneva. So what was the answer to the Kesem Mishnah? Absolutely not. One is Ayidei Taino Shnua, and the other is Ayidei Maisa. But now I realize that he's right, and what's the answer to the Kesem Mishnah? Exactly this point. Go ahead. And that's why he says Ktsas also, because for him the issue isn't completely to turn, you know, to distinguish between Maisa Gneva and Toin Tanis Ganav. It's enough that we show that the Magen Mishnah is not correct. Namely, that the Oshek, which is why you kept calling it Kofer Bikodim, but I just like to leave that out, the Oshek type of Toin Tanis Ganav, even B'li Shvua, is not going to be enough without some sort of physical action. Therefore, you still need the Shvua. That's the Kesem Mishnah. And this, I think, is clearly how the Lechem Mishnah and Gra read the Kesem Mishnah. Because the Lechem Mishnah adds a line, a word or two, to the, go ahead, if you don't mind, to the Kesem Mishnah, which isn't there, which always bothered me. Go ahead. No. When he quotes Kesem Mishnah, and then before he asks this question about Tzvichon Mechira, No. Say, read it again. Doesn't he add word to the Kesem Mishnah? Ah, the potter. What do you mean the potter? What does the potter have to do with it? That would have had to be the chayev. And the Gra says the same. Read the Gra. You have the Frankel there? Also, he says what the Kessel Mishnah says, but he adds the word. Right. What does he mean, potter? Because they read the Magen Mishnah correctly, like the two of you did, which is that the Magen Mishnah was really asking the question, why isn't Toin Tanis Ganav without Shvua enough? Why do you need Shvua? The answer is, it's going to be potter a Taina alone, unless there is some sort of a Maisa. Correct? Okay. So now we have a much better understanding of what the Kesef Mishnah, Magid Mishnah, Gra are saying. Okay, that's very important. So what comes out of it all is that there's an important struggle. How much of a Maisa Gneva does a Shomer / Ganav really require? And that's one issue. And whether Toin Tanis Ganav, the Shvua in Toin Tanis Ganav, isn't a really part of the actual Mechayev, or at least it's the difference between viewing an Oshek in the context of Shmira as opposed to a Shvua. Oshek is not going to be a sufficient Maisa Gneva, even for a Shomer Bershuso, even though there's a legal renunciation, partial renunciation of the Shmira in the process, which in a way takes the object from the embassy and puts it into your physical Rishus, that alone will be insufficient. Okay. So that's the Ram and the Ravid, a little better understood. Certainly the Magid Mishnah, much better understood, and the Kesef Mishnah, the Gra, and the Lechem Mishnah as well. Okay. One other hara on what we discussed, and then to get back to move forward, and that is, I didn't get a chance to look at it because I was somewhere else for Shabbos, but just one second. But I think Noah mentioned to me the other day that the Evan Oezel, did you get a chance to look at it?
I didn't, but you'll say it already says.
Okay, so we'll just tell me the second is correct, that the Evan Oezel also interpreted the line of the Rambam the way that I did, in Halacha Gimel, but not the way it reads the Gemara.
Right.
Yeah, so basically, just to, I was suggesting that when the Rambam says, Shekvayatza Bikadom Bidei, in the case of Kofar Bikadom Bishvua, the Rambam says, Shekvayatza Bikadom Midei Habailim Mishvua Rishona, I was trying to be Medayik against the Lechem Mishnah and so on. Lechem Mishnah asks the question, well, why doesn't the Rambam just say that there's Kenyan in that case? Why does he need to say what the Gemara said, which is Yatza Yedei Habailim Bishvua Rishona? So I was saying, well, if you look at the Rambam, he really doesn't say what the Gemara says. He goes back, I think, to the first pshat, which is that Kofar Bikadon plus Shvua is a Kenyan, and exactly what the Lechem Mishnah would want him to say, he says, and that's how he comes to it. But how does he explain the Gemara? After all, the Gemara said, Yatza Midei Bailim Bishvua Rishona. So what I was suggesting was, yes, that's until the Gemara introduced the Memra of Rav Sheshes. Once Rav Sheshes says explicitly that Shlichus Yad neutralizes or obviates Toin Tanis Ganav, or precludes Toin Tanis Ganav, once that's true, so then you realize that the first argument, which was that Kinyan can do that, is correct, and then we go back to saying that that's the proper formulation of Shvua and Kofar Pikadon. So what I understood from what they're saying, is I didn't get a chance to look at it yet, is that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer says this pshat in the Rambam, he just doesn't give this explanation of the sugya. He thinks that the Rambam read this pshat already into the line of the Gemara that Yatza Yidei Bailim Bishvua Rishona really means Kinyan as well. How that would then neutralize the raya of the Gemara, I don't know. Do you know?
What I said to Yosef, or the other Ezel said?
Oh, you saw it. Yosef saw it. Yeah. So does he say that? Does he explain that? So it's more of a Kenyan even. Completely. More of a Kenyan. Okay. So then it would be, that would be interesting anyway, because in the high, that's what we were explaining, that Kofar Bikadon B'Shvua, you mean.
He ends up saying just Kofar Bikadon B'Shvua, but he says a Kfir without a Shvua, not considered a Kfir. That's
I mean, it is for Gzela. He's a Gazlan. It's possibly Edus.
But it's a separate point of Evan Oezel. That's his own Shita. But you could say what he's saying in this line, that's just saying the Shvua.
Yeah, I think you have to. So So if you want to explain it that way, again, it doesn't sound to me that way in the Gemara, but I would just rehabilitate it in that way. In other words, just like we spoke about, again, the Rabbi Kiveger said, Shlichus Yad is, it's not so obvious that it's Kinyan Gamor. Even the Rambam, who says Shlichus Yad is Kinyan Gamor, makes it sound like it's Gzeiros HaKasuv, that we treat it like any other Gneva. This is the Rambam in Gzela, Gimel, Yud Aleph, I'm referring to. So what I was saying was that if you look at the Rambam carefully, there's a hierarchy. There is Shlichus Yad, right? Little less than that is Shol Shalom Midas, and less than that is Kofrat Bikadon. Where does Kofrat Bikadon Bishvua fit in? So in the language of the Gemara, we were saying on Kuv Zayinim and Aleph, it sounds like it's real Kenyan. And then when the Gemara brings it in again, on Kuv Zayinim and Beis, when the Gemara brings it in again, so I was saying, you don't have to hold like Rashi, that it means, Rav Sheshes is the equivalent of Rav Sheshes Kofrat Bikadon. It's Kofrat Bikadon Bishvua precisely because it's on the level of Shlichus Yad. So apparently Rabbi Zalman Meltzer is taking it one step further and saying what the Gemara really meant at that point is, it's even more than Shlichus Yad. Kofrat Bikadon Bishvua is more than Shlichus Yad. And therefore, that works, but you can't prove from there Shlichus Yad. Okay, that would be a fine way to read it. I still stick by my formulation in terms of the language of the... I'm still trying to be medayik that, the Rambam changes in three different ways the language of that line in the Gemara. So I still think that works better if you say that the Rambam read the Gemara that Yotzi de Bailim Bishvu or Rishona because there's no Raya, but once you have the Raya that Shlichus Yad works, then of course Kofar Bikon Ayde Shvua works in the same way, and that's why he changes the three. But either way, that would be, it's an alternative to the normal way that the Rambam is read. You could say Baruch Shekivanti, but if the Ebn Ezel also reads the Rambam as saying Kinyan here, and that explains the V'chein, as we discussed. It's a continuation of the previous halach. To say only Kofar Bikadon B'li Shvua, I think is difficult, and to make the argument that B'li Shvua it's not a Kofar Bikadon, I think is also, unless you say, he's a Gazlan, L'inyan Chivon Sin, and it's a Taina L'inyan Nemanus, L'Eidus and Chivon Sin, but not L'inyan Kinyanim, I find that that's already lost the sting of saying it's not a kind anymore. So, again, I have to look at it inside, but that's an important issue. Okay, getting back to Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, there is another suggestion, now we have another two, of how to read this difficult Rambam. One is the Sivas that we'll have to look at again. Where was it? Shin Mem Aleph Tes. We should look at that. That the Rambam's Shita is limited to Tle and Kis because he's like Miyachid Lehem Mokom, so it's not... It's his embassy, not the embassy by virtue of the Shmira. That's an interesting point, and it highlights the problems. But there's another one, and that is the Or Sameach. Does anybody have a chance to look at the Or Sameach? Nobody? Wow. Okay. The Or Sameach says something really fascinating here. The Or Sameach says the Rambam Shita, like the Nesivos before him, the Rambam Shita is limited to Lokach. Selah min akis or tle min aeder, but for a very different reason. And the Or Sameach starts off with this following assumption. This is really crucial. Again, the Gemara says that toin tanis ganav is dafke b'shua, not the tain alone. And now we're even more sensitive to this because we now understand better the Magen Mishnah who is raising that question. Why should it be given? Fine. But the reality is that toin tanis ganav is limited to shvua. That's the Gemara's conclusion. So the Or Sameach raises the following question. Why is that so? Is that because, per se, Toin Tanis Ganav, part of the Mechayiv of Toin, he doesn't say it this way, but part of the Mechayiv of Toin Tanis Ganav is the Shvua? I would add, either in terms of making it into a Maisa more, or a Maisa Hotza, Ayidei Shvua, or it's its own Mechayiv, it's a Din Shomer, it's a Din Shvua, right, it could just as easily have been put in Uchos Chirus, maybe it could just as easily have been put in Uchos Shvua, together with Shvua Sapikadon. Okay. Or, and this is what the Or Sameach does say, he doesn't ask the question, he doesn't formulate these two other alternatives, but what he really says is, I think that the reason that Toin Tanis Ganav is limited to Shvua, says the Or Sameach, is because until the guy takes a Shvua, he's Mechuyev anyway. b'toras shomer. After all, the mafkid always has the right either to find out what happened to the chayfetz, right, or to get the chayfetz back. That's part of the chiyav hashava of a shomer includes either handing over the object or providing an explanation why he can't hand over the object. Until he does that, right, even if on an objective grounds or his taina is that something happened for which he is patur, until he's nishba, he owes something to the mafkid. So the Arsameach says, basically, the reason that you require toin tana's ganav bishvua is because before the shvua, he's chayv anyway. It's a very interesting point of view. So it's not that the shvua makes it into a maisa, or the shvua is the mechayiv. The shvua just dictates at what point, I would add, this becomes a taina hapoteres, and therefore an act of gzela. Now there's no question in my mind that Rabbi Kveger's tshuva, you know, is partially influential here. It was the Or Sameach, by the way, who said about the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, look at the tshuva of Rabbi Kveger, and everything will be good and fine. Now, if we recall, what was the tshuva of Rabbi Kveger? Rabbi Kveger said something very similar about Toin Tanis Ganav. Rabbi Kveger said, Toin Tanis Ganav is only chayiv, it's only mechayiv you, if it's a taina poteres. But if you were Sholeach Yad, that's his explanation, if you were Sholeach Yad before you were Toin Tanis Ganav, so you're already chayiv anyway. Even if your taina is true, you're already chayiv. And therefore, it's not a taina poteres, and therefore it's not mechayiv yugneva. So we already pointed out that obviously not everybody agrees with Rabbi Kveger. Rabbi Kveger was suggesting that's the pshat in the Gemara, and it's against Rashi's pshat. He was also suggesting that could be a way to explain the Maskaras HaGemara, that Shlich, or the Gzeres HaKasav, however you want to say that Shlichus Yad precludes Toin Tanis Ganav, even if it isn't Midin Kinyanim, maybe it falls short on the level of Kinyanim. Okay. So basically, this is what the Or Sameach is saying too. You need Toin Tanis Ganav to be a Taina Poteres. But it's not a Taina Poteres without the Shvua, because you're still Mechuyev. Just as there is a vulnerability in Rabbi Kveger's argument, or at least there's an assumption, one should say, there's also an assumption in the Or Sameach's argument, which I think is an extension of Rabbi Kveger anyway. Right? In Rabbi Kveger's argument, we were pointing out that there's an assumption that, you know, even if the mafkid doesn't know about it, the fact that objectively there's a chiyuv renders this no longer a taina poteres. There's an assumption in Or Sameach, and that is your chiyuv prior to the shvua to satisfy the mafkid is a chiyuv shmira. It's not a chiyuv gneva or gezela. At least Rabbi Kveger, now because Rabbi Kveger is not talking about a chiyuv gneva either, but at least it's a chiyuv gzela. Rabbi Kveger is saying, if you're shaleach yad, so you're a gazlan already, so it's not a taina poteres. And the Or Sameach is saying, if you're mechuyev, despite saying taina's ganav because of dinei shmira, so then taina's ganav is not an act of gneva. But one could say about both of them that if we're judging Toin Tanis Ganav as an act of Gneva, then the fact that you're Chayev for some other reason, that is, it's got to be a Taina Poteres, and that what makes it Gneva in its own right? Or is the point to be Mechayev you, but Toras Gneva now, separately? So your Chiyuve Hashavas Shmira don't necessarily preclude you being a Ganav. Either way, this is the Or Sameach's understanding, and I think it's a very compelling one. I'm pointing out an assumption, which might be, you know, a reason to reject it or to disagree with it. But having said that, it's very reasonable what he's saying. What he's saying is an extension of Rabbi Kveger. He's saying you need a taina poteres, and if you're chayev for whatever reason, it's not a taina poteres. if you were to go further and say that Toin Tanis Ganev is also a Chiyuv Shomer, it's a Chiyuv Gneva L'Shomer, right, then also my objection or my Ha'ara would be less important as well. I would say, okay, good. This is Gneva for a Shomer, but Gneva for a Shomer requires that he be Poteratzmo B'Torah Shomer Lagamri. If he still has Chiyuv Shmira, whether they're you know, Hashava or Shlichos Yad, whatever they may be, that still precludes Gnevas Shomer. Okay, I don't know. But either way, what's one more second? How does this help for this Rambam? So the Sameach says, if this is true, if this Yisod is true, which is that the reason that you need Shvua and Toin Tanis Ganev is not because, per se, it's a din of the Shvua. Right? And it's just because till you reach the point of Shvua, the conditions of Toin Tanis Ganev don't exist because it's not a Taina Poteres. So he says, so what will happen in the following two cases? Number one, let's say you have a Gneva. After all, what is the Magid Mishnah's question and the Kesed Mishnah's answer? It's all about this question, right? So let's say you have a Gneva which is not going to be detected by Dine Shmira. In other words, it comes time for the Shomer to return the Chafetz to the Mafkid, and the Mafkid will not know that anything was taken. So, can the act of Gnevas Shomer in that case be Mechayev in its own right? This has nothing to do with Tainas Gneva B'li Shvua. Right? This has to do with the larger question that the Magid Mishnah and Kesed Mishnah are discussing, and that is, what Heichan Matzinu Gneva L'Shomer Chutz Mitoin Tanis Ganev. Right? So the Or Sameach's answer is, Derech Klal Lo Matzinu, because if you do a Gneva, you do a regular Gneva, a Rambam-type Gneva. Oh, not for the Or Sameach. What we think is a Rambam-type Gneva. You do a Rambam-type Gneva, and now it's time to give back the Chefetz, the Pikadon. So the Bailim come to you and they say, Heichan Pikdoni. So what are you going to say? Whatever you say, I mean, he gave you a Chefetz, it was worth $100. It's composed of three components, let's say. He says, give me my three-component $100 object back. Until you take your Shavua, you're Chayiv anyway B'Torah Shomer. So there's no Gneva. That's the Or Sameach's argument. But let's say you take a kiss mina arnak. A selah mina kiss, rather. Or let's say you take a shor mina eder. And let's say the Nignav didn't know how many coins he had. He just gave you, he gave his wallet. He trusts you. He gave it to you and put it in your rishus. He gave you the flock. He didn't count the flock. Or maybe the flock grows in times, right? There are all sorts of simchas, and the flock gets bigger, right? Mirtz Hashem. So how does he know that he's getting what he gave? Right? Or what he should be getting back? That's the Or Sameach argument. So he says, that's what the Rambam means. It's only Selah min HaKis. It's only Tzon min HaEder. Because there, the Dine Shmira don't obviate a previous Gneva. It's only in that case that the Rambam will say that Yochai B'Torah is gone. Okay. Again, I think it's very difficult. I don't think it sounds that way in the Rambam, and I don't think it needs to say that in the Rambam. But what's particularly interesting is his next Nafkamina. He says, what will happen in another case, and this I think is much more of a important issue, even if you don't agree with him on the first point. What will happen in the following case? Let's say you have a Toin Tanis Ganev circumstance where you don't have any obligation to take a Shvua Midine Shomrim. Will you say Toin Tanis Ganev? So what's the case? So he points to the discussion in Tosas and Bava Kama earlier in Daf Nun Zayin Ud Beis. Tosas Nun Zayin Ud Beis discusses whether you can have Toin Tanis Ganev ever for Shomer Sachar. classical Torah Tainas Ganav to Shomer Chino. Why? Because Tainas Ganav has to be a Taina Poteres. Even if you don't hold it in the terms of Rabbi Kveger, but in basic terms, if I come to Rabbi Shomer Sachar or Shoel, and I say the Chavit was stolen from me, so then I have to ante up, I have to pay. Because that's part of my Chiyuv Shmira. So obviously that's not Torah Tainas Ganav. That's clear in the Gemara. But what will happen if you have a case of Shomer Sachar, where he's Torah Tainas Ganav, where he would be potter? Would you then say Torah Tainas Ganav is chayvin for Shomer Sachar? So how can it ever take place? Balavimo. Let's say the Shmira was the Balavimo. Balavimo is potter midine Shomrim. So you have a Shomer Sachar, he's Torah Tainas Ganav, and the result is he doesn't have to pay. Will you say Torah Tainas Ganav in that case or not? That's 2 days in Tosis and Bava Kama, Daf Nun Zayin on the base. Second. So, Nitzah Shomer Sachar Misham Shomer Keifa. Abli Gazan Hu, Nichad Toin Tanis Ganet, etc. Bim Tomer Akati Nitzah Shomer Sachar Mishalim Keifa Betoin Tanis Ganet Bebailim. The Shema Ein Shayach Keifa Betoin Tanis Ganet Beinyan Zeh. Vapilu Shayach Ein Lochush. He have a Matzal Memer Veli Tameich Velo Kamar, etc. Okay, fine. 2 days in Tosis. Whether Shomer Sachar Bebalavimo, who's towing Tanis Ganav is Kaiva Kefal or not? What's the issue? Well, the truth is, it could be many issues. It could be that everybody agrees that Shvua is a prerequisite for towing Tanis Ganav. Question is whether Balavimo is Potem and a Shvua. That's 2 days in the Yerushalmi. Yosemech himself points that out. He doesn't think of that's what Tosis is about, but he points out that that's an issue, and the Xos has a big discussion. All the Achronim talk about that issue, whether Balavimo is Potem and a Shvua. So it could be that's the suffix of Tosis. Or it could be that Tosis' suffix is whether or not, let's assume for the moment that Balavimo does apply to Shvua. Can you have a Toin Tanis Ganav when there's a Patur Shvua? So that's how the Or Sameach preferred to understand the suffix, and he said it's exactly this issue. What happens? Here you have a case where at the moment of the Taina, you're already Potter, Medine Shmira, no Chiyuv Shvua. So do you need, so you have a Taina Poteres, you just don't have a Shvua. So if Shvua, Xeris HaKasav is some requirement, Toin Tanis Ganav per se, then you don't have it. But if the only reason that you normally need Shvua is because of what he was arguing, which is that otherwise it's not a Taina Poteres because you're Chayiv Midine Hashava, so here you are. So in this circumstance, you would have not only Toin Tanis Ganav B'Shomer Sachar, you'd have Toin Tanis Ganav B'Shomer Sachar, you'd have Toin Tanis Ganav B'li Shvua. That's 1 second. However, says the Or Sameach, there's another possibility. And that is, maybe the 2 days in Tosis are about a different issue. Third issue. And that is, when you say Balavimo, even if you, and especially if you say there's no Chiyuv Shvua, there's no Chiyuv Mamon, so have you maybe gone too far? Maybe by saying Balavimo, in addition to being Poter, Mi Mamon, Mi Shvua, maybe he's also Mufka, Mi Shem Shomer? If he's Mufka Mishem Shomer, then it's a different problem. There's no towing Tainas Ganav, you know, outside of the Parsha of Shmira. That would be particularly true if it's not just the context and the background, and maybe this is the question, you know, that provide, you know, this is the only time you have to say Chetimsa, but that's Gneva. From a Gneva point of view, it would be Gneva. Lu Yitzur, you have these circumstances. But if we say what we've been saying, prominent view, which is Toin Tanis Ganav is a Gneva for a Shomer. So it's got to be a Shomer. This, of course, depends on, that's what the Shach and Reb Chaim both explain in the Rambam, you know, the again the Balavimo question, Rambam Shita of Poshea Kimazik in Hechos Chiras Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. So the Ravid said, how could Poshea be Kimazik? After all, there's a Ptur of Balavimo. You don't find Balavimo in Mazik, you go to somebody's field and start destroying it, there's no Balavimo. Right? So how could it be that Poshea is Kimazik? So the Shach, and then Reb Chaim many years later, suggested that what the Rambam had in mind was that Balavimo is Mafkia, the Shem Shomer. And when we say Poshea is Kamazik, we mean it's Mazik for a Shomer. Okay. So here too, if we say Balavimo means that you're not a Shomer anymore, then we may have gone in trying to find a perfect Hechitimtzi of a Shomer with a Toin Tanis Ganav, with a Ptur, Shomer Sachar, and a Hafkas Shvua, we just may have ruined the case. It's no longer a case of Shmira. Okay. In any case, this is the perspective of the Arsameach, which I think is an extension of Rabbi Kivager. If one argues with it, then one may want to say that Shvua is not just there in order to determine that that there is still an outstanding chiyuv, but that Shvua is an integral part of the mechayiv of Toin Tanis Ganav. Either it provides what's lacking in terms of Maisot Tzom Rishus HaBailim B'derach Shua, or even more so, it's a din in the Mechayev of Shua. Maybe it could just as well almost have been in Hukos Shvuas, a kind of a Shvuas HaPikadon, Shvuas HaPikadon L'Gzela, and there's a Shvuas Toin Tanis Ganav L'Gneva, that kind of an issue. Just one more second. The Or Sameach, I should add just one other point. He has one interesting other qualification, where he says, if you could find me other hechetimtzis where technically there happens not to be a shvua, he says, I don't know whether they would qualify for my analysis. For example, chashud b'shvua. There's no question, what do you do when you have a chashud b'shvua? But he says, let's say you have a chashud b'shvua and you can't take a shvua. So then, in that situation too, you'd have a circumstance where it's the tainas gneva, which is potro. If you assume that chashud b'shvua is not going to always pay, but he's going to be potter because it's not his fault. That depends how you understand the nature of chiyuv shvua and the patur chashud and 2 days in tosin bar mitzia, and so on and so forth. But the Or Sameach says just because technically he can't take the shvua doesn't mean he really isn't mechuyev to take the shvua. Just we won't let him take the shvua. He says that might not be a circumstance. So I think again that raises an interesting question about about the role that Shvua would play even within the view of the Or Sameach. Yeah.
I think you can also read the Sabbath Gedolos that even your Chayav Shvua in the case of
Divided. Yeah, Shomer Sachar just may not be.
Yeah, no, but even if it's Chayav Shvua, it's just that the Tamei Tanis Ganav is registered because you don't need a Tanis Ganav. The Tamei Tanis Ganav is not really the positive. But the point is that you take the Shvua in order to clarify that you didn't steal it, so once you just...
It's not Geneva particularly.
Yeah, and once you pass that bar, whatever else you're telling is not really the issue, and therefore it's not Mechayu in that sense.
Right, I agree. I think Noah was making a very good point. And that is, again, that tells us the issue may be, either in addition to these other questions, whether Balavimo is still a Shomer, whether you need a Shomer for Toin Tanis Ganav, whether Balavimo is Potem and a Shvua, could be all of these questions. Whether you need a shvua for Toin Tanis Ganav, as opposed to previous point, whether you need a shomer for Toin Tanis Ganav, could be any of these questions. It could also be a question whether or not finding a hechetimtzi of ptur gneva for shomer sachar is Toin Tanis Ganav, even if there is a shvua, and even if you take the shvua, because the fact that it doesn't need to be Tanis Ganav means it's almost like a generic, it's a fill in the blanks ptur. It could be this, could be that. So the fact that it happens to be Gneva, as opposed to, this is, you're exploiting Tainas Gneva, Liftar, and Betoras Tainas Gneva, Chalos Tainas Gneva. Not just, it happens to be Tainas Gneva and you happen to be Potter here. It's a fill-in-the-blank kind of a Ptur. That, too, may disqualify it, I absolutely agree, from Toin Tanis Ganav. And... that would highlight the idea of, you know, it not just being a coincidence. I mean, again, the same Shaka Batari that we're going to, I guess we're not going to get to today, but we'll get to it tomorrow. The Gemara on Samach Gimel on the base basically is trying to prove two things. Number one, that the Geneva of Toin Tanis Ganav is limited to Shvua, and two, that it's limited to Tainas Ganav. It's not Tainas Ptur per se. Avad, even though it Potur for Shomer Chinam, is still not going to generate Geneva. So it's not Taina Poteres, or even Taina Poteres like De Shvua Shma Geneva. It's Dafka Tainas Geneva. So if that's true, then there's another question to ask, and that's what he was pointing out correctly, and that is, okay, so Tainas Geneva Lamaisa, or, and you know, the irony and the exploitation of it, or Chalos Tainas Geneva, where only Tainas Geneva, it's even more cynical. This is the only thing that can get you off, or you know, and I, of course, I mean, there's Ganav V'Avad, but at least it's Betoras Geneva, at least, in the case of Shomer Chinam, as opposed to Balavimo, so Shomer Sachar, you know, anything will get you off. You know, it's not Gneva, even as one of the options, or Betoras Atzmo, it's Balavimo, which really is operating here. Okay. So I think this is a very, very important perspective of the Or Sameach. So this, I say, brings us to Or Sameach's whole discussion, I think, brings us, and Rabbi Kanager's, and the other elements, whether it's a din of Shmira and a din of Shvua, or it's just the circumstances of Gneva in a regular way, as long as you have this background, and so on, I say it brings us very much to two other points in the Gemara that need clarification. We're going to have to stop in a couple of minutes, but at least we could begin with them. One is the question of Davar HaMesuyam. The issue of Davar HaMesuyam is really two topics. Number one, it's a kefal issue. Right? We had the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, the last line that we read, which was about 3 weeks ago. But, you know, we also had Yontif, so it's not as bad as it sounds. Michael, if you don't mind, just catch us up on that line. Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, if you could just read it for a second. The Gemara was going through the various miyutim, right? Karka, Vadim, Shtaros, Hekdeshos, which he's left to talk about very quickly too. And the Gemara said, why do you need all these pratim?
So it says, V'chad v'tisharos, Asama, the last part of that pasuk, L'mute, Davar Sheinu Mesuyim.
Yeah, Lute, so it's with Sama, L'mute, Davar Sheinu Mesuyim. So I think that this is important from several points of view. Okay, number one, separate from Toin Tanis Ganav for the moment, just per se, the Gemara had interesting Hava Aminas about limiting Kefa, as we discussed, right? If you recall, you know, Davar Shem Nitan, you know, Latumas Mago Masa, Tumas Nevela. Davar Shekarei V'Algabi Mizbeach, only Davar Shekarei V'Algabi Mizbeach, only Ophos Tahorim, not Ophos Tmeim, Bechor, very, very strange suggestions. It wasn't like a, you know, one passing suggestion either. So you could say, all right, you know, it's either Milsa de B'dichusa or, you know, Agav, you know, Shitva. We're spending a whole Amud trying to really figure out whether or not Kefel might not be limited to issues or objects of stature in Hilchos Taros and Kachim. Kind of a remarkable thing. Moreover, we also raised the question in the very beginning of our reading of the Mishnayos and the Gemara, that flows already from the Mishnah and from the first Gemara, the relationship between Tvichu Mechira and Kefal, which we'll get back to in Karen Kain Shagonav, Kefal Dal Vehek Shasa Mada B'din. Clearly, Tvichu Mechira is very limited, Shar V'Seh, and the factors that dictate the Dal Vehek, according to the Suganai and Tesimid Deis, as we discussed, right, is Chisaron Kis, Alright, at least that makes sense. Shor is five according to one day in the Gemara, because it should have been four. We're adding a little extra for the chisar and kiss of the five. It's one day. The other day, Rabbi Yochanan, even more remarkable, right? Rabbi Yochanan says that basically everything should have been five. Said we downgrade to four because of the price that the poor ganav, you know, has to pay, you know, when he does this in terms of his kavod abrios. Again, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the poor ganav, you know, we're not that bleeding heart, you know, for we're not, it's not like we're rewarding him or anything, you know, he's getting a severe punishment instead of being, you know, quintupled, he's being only quadrupled because of his loss of dignity. It's still an amazing line of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. But in any case, Dalad Behei is limited to Shor V'Seh. It has these other factors. Clearly, Tvicho Mechira is not something that flows from the Geneva itself. That seems obvious. Otherwise, why should it be limited to Shor V'Seh for such reasons? It sounds like it's more of a Mechayiv in its own right, or it is something that is an additional, you know, a makab patish on the Geneva, but it's clear that it's not intrinsic to the Geneva itself. But when it comes to Kefel, right, one would have thought that Kefel just means an extension of the Geneva. And it's not only the fact that, you know, these factors of Kavod Abrios, and I'm trying to, you know, reform. It's not just that these factors of Kavod Abrios and you know, and other such factors, you know, don't seem to apply to Kefel. It's also the numbers themselves. Right, you have Dalad Behei, so where do you get quadruple and quintuple? Right, it's even difficult to say it, you know. But where does it come from? It's not a natural number. Okay, I don't mean it in a mathematical sense. I mean it's in connection to Geneva, like, you know, why four, why five? And it's an interesting argument in the Gemara, which is the baseline and when we're adjusting either Lekula or Lechomra between the four and the five. But, like, where do we get four and five from? I mean, the Torah says it. But it's not obvious to us immediately why it should be so. Kefel, on the other hand, you know, so you could say it's a nice round number. It's the first multiple that comes to mind. You know, double. So this is double, and that's quadruple, and the other one's quintuple, and terrific. But there's another explanation, maybe a more attractive explanation. And that is, it's double, not because that's just the first multiple, but because in a way, there's a clear logic flowing from the very Geneva itself, on an onish level, albeit, but nonetheless, a very obvious logic, which explains Kefel. Lo, kasha zamam, I don't mean literally, not in the Nedus context. You wanted to steal $100, and your punishment is you lose $100. You know, feel the victim's, or the intended victim's pain, you become the victim. So the difference between Kefel and Dalad Behei, with respect to why we're so circumscribing Dalad Behei, and why those other factors apply in Kefel, seems to be across the board, seems to be automatic. Very logical. It's still an onesh. It's a knas. It's not the Karen and the Tashlumim. But to say that it flows directly from the Maisa Geneva in a very logical way, I think it's very reasonable. And I say we'll pursue this more when we talk about the question of evaluation. Kashas Amar Badin, Kashas Dalad Behei, what exactly is it? But either way, the distinction seems obvious. And then when the Gemara originally records the debate, which repeats again in Samach Gimel Amud Beis, whether Tvicho Mechira applies to Toin Tanis Gana, for maybe only Kefel does. Right, there too. If we're going to say Toin Tanis Gana is some sort of Gneva, that it should carry with it Kefel is reasonable, that automatically, since it's Kefel, there's Dalad Behei, more of an open question. After all, maybe Dalad Behei is a huge, much bigger chiddush, much more circumscribed. It's not doesn't flow directly. It has a separate maisa, and so on and so forth. So, if Torin Tanis Ganav isn't a full fledged geneva in every respect, either it's limited in terms of maybe it's beli maisa geneva, or maybe it doesn't have a full shame ganav because the ganav is really a shomer. or to Gneba for a Shomer, whatever it is, to say, okay, Kefil, yes, Dalad Vehei, no, all of this is reasonable. But then when we encounter the Gemara, and the Gemara starts, trying to chip away at Kefil, and to say, you know what, Dafka Karev Legabim Mizbeach, Dafka, Metame B'mago Masa, Dafka B'chor. So then, we're not as certain as we were that Kefil is an obvious, something that obviously flows, from the Gneva. In one respect, one could read the whole Shaka Vatari of the Gemaras on two levels as discussing the following. Number one, maybe the gap between Dalad Vehei and Kefil isn't as big as you thought. Maybe Kefil is a lot more like Dalad Vehei than previously imagined. It's true. In a Doma, the limits of one to the other, that's quantitative. Okay, there are only two cases of this, and there are only five exceptions of that. But that's a number on one level. And of course, on the other level, we've already noted, which is, if the factors that matter are factors like Karev Legabeach and Tumma Batara and so on, then certainly we're getting the impression that this is something that transcends Kosher Mishpat and Dini Mamanus. But rather, it's the stature of the Be'en that matters. It's the fact that this Gneva is more than about money, right? It's about, Yoredeya as much as it is Kosher Mishpat. Okay, so then the factors of, again, it might not still be the factors that I would have anticipated, but that's why we're the Mitzuvim who are trying to reconstruct, and the Chachmei HaMesorah were the ones who made the suggestions and drew the lines. So they had a better intuitive understanding, or Mesorah, or both, than we do. So I might still not have thought that Tumah Vatara should be Koveya, but the Gemara thinks that it is. So on both of these levels, the gap between Dalad Vehei, A, B, the nature of Chiv Kefil, is it just, you are now going to feel the pain of the victim? On both of these levels, the whole Shaka Vatari is very interesting and important. But then in the end, despite the fact that a lot of ink is spilled, a whole Amud, practically, the Gemara does conclude that Tumah V'Tahara and all these things don't apply. But there is one thing that still applies. Salma Limute Davar Shena Mesuya. So now the question becomes, is that the lone echo of these ideas? Or is it something else? In other words, there's only one exclusion in the end for Kefil. It's still like Dalad Vehei. And it still establishes that Gneva transcends Kosher Mishpat. Or no. Davar Shena Mesuyam can be understood in very different ways. Nothing comparable at all to these other Havaminas. Well, it depends what Davar Mesuyam means, number one. And by extension, how it really comes to play in this whole sugya. That's issue number one in Davar Mesuyam. The second issue is it's very much closely related, is the question of the relationship between Toin Tanis Ganav and Ganav when it comes to Davar Shena Mesuyam. And obviously that's a dual issue. It has to do with the nature of Davar Shena Mesuyam, as we've just been discussing for the last 5 or 7 minutes. But it might equally, or maybe more so, have to do with the relationship between Toin Tanis Ganav and regular Ganav in general. So on one level, one way to neutralize Davar Shena Mesuyam completely and to make it innocuous in terms of the relationship between Toin Tanis Ganav and Ganav as well would be to say that the din of Davar Shena Mesuyam is really not a din of Kefil at all. What do I mean by that? Maybe it's not a din of Kefil. It's in our sugya. Brian? But the question is, does Tosus hold that way? Tosus discusses that problem, correct. And one aspect of it, one dimension of it, you're 100% right for quoting Tosas. Tosas sees the whole parsha of Kesef O'Kalim and Al-Kol Dvar Pesha as being fully integrated, Shvua and Kefa, as opposed to, who's he chalek on? What? Okay, there are other days in Tosas, but even before that, Rashi Alatar. Right? Rashi here on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph says the Shvua part of the Psukim and Mishpatim Lechud. You have it, David? No. We'll get to that inside. The one before.
Samo?
No. Maybe it's not the one before. Here, and Samo Kimo Medav. Rashi. V'isokadaitach?
V'isokadaitach. I have called over Pasha, the Osso, the Indian Kefel, and you shade the cloud of Prat, Osso. Hello.
Misrabi le Kefel.
Hello, in a Prat.
Lichtavinu lahani prati.
He's
quoting the Gemara. Okay. And then he adds, "This is the key point." Ulinyan kefel.
Cloud prat the crop karma. The seed they cloud prat the union shvua who also could exceed.
Asrei, v'nikra balabayis. Rashi wants to, even though it's all, even according to the view in the Gemara, that this is all connected, Rashi wants to say that within the Parsha, there are Shvua Psukim, and there are Kefal Psukim. Tosus, on the other hand, you have the line that you're referring to, he says it a few times actually, but go ahead. Which one are you reading? Davar Shein
Misuyim?
Yeah. Okay, before that even, because this is tricky, but we'll get to that. But before that even, Dibra Maschal Lamali, Tosa says very clearly against Rashi. Go ahead.
At the end.
Right, Hal Korcha, Klal Uprat, Darshina Le Bahazav, Le'inan Shvua, and so on. The Kefal Ushvua Hakol Echad. First, the line before the wide lines, right? Mm-hmm. From there. The Kefal Ushvua Hakol Echad, Midakamar Lichtavinu Lahanich Prati Hasam. That was the Havamina, but he considers that to be true, even the Maskana. The Heche Havamotzi Lichtavinu, Him Kain, Hayisim Imaid, Ophos Tmeim Mishvua, El Al Korchach, Him Tamate Mikefal. So you're reading very well so far. Gam Kain, go ahead.
Gam Kain Mishvua Tamate.
Oh, and then he answers this other question, and then he repeats it again in the end. You can skip if you want. Well, the Fimasha Pirashti.
Have a bein the inyan shvua, bein the inyan kefel. Vafilu hecha de nishba yidei gilgo v'davar she'inu mesuyam pater hu mekefel.
Yeah, that last line, hold on. Look at it says in the thing, look at the marsha. You should look at the marsha. But we'll get back to that last line in a minute. That's where Tosas, you know, is pulling back a little bit from what one could have said. But, which is why I say, when you answered Tosas before, I said I think it's partially correct. Partially because of this last line, and because of what it's also saying. Davar Sheinu Misuyim. Now, go ahead. Let's also just get it on the record, and then we'll talk about it. No. We'll get to back and say what is Davar Sheinu Misuyim. We'll get back. Okay. Actually, you go ahead. You're right. Okay. Just go ahead and read the whole thing. Which is a good question. You agree?
Yeah.
What does Simon have to do with Gneva? Simon has to do with Metzia. It doesn't have to do with Gneva. Okay. Go ahead.
We know the Hasvara, what's Pshat, what's the Makar of the Mishnah and Shavuos?
So again, Tosas is operating with the idea, right, that Kefal and Shvua are one parsha. Previously, he said, "Are even nafkamina lahalacha? Maybe need shnayim in kefel, just like you need shnayim in shvua." And now he's telling us in the other direction that davar shena mesuyam is defined in the same way in shvua and in kefel. In both cases, it means davar shemida minin a mishkal. Not only is it the same halacha, but the makar of shvua is actually to be found in kefel. Big chiddush. Va'od.
The odo yinu yicholu lefarish davar hamisuyam ki yahid perak hazav. Man now davar misuyam v'kulei.
What's the context there?
Kinyan chalipin.
Yeah, good.
I have to do kinyan chalipin with davar misuyam lafuge chatzi rimon v'chatzi agos if it's only half of a fruit.
Dilo.
V'chein aminu lekaman gabi drasha dihimatzei timatzei. The amar shadi chamar bein himatzei timatzei. Lemuudi davar she'eno misuyam. So there are two hainu chatzi rimon v'chatzi agos, dimimait luhu mikefel.
Okay.
V'davar shabimidah v'shabimishkal v'shabiminyan.
But now if you take the second shot of the Tosas, so now how do you know davar midah minyan mishkal by shvua? You no longer have the makar of salma, because salma means chatzi zayis. Go ahead.
D'matzvichi gabi chi of shvua, typically mimashmos d'chi huzeh.
Okay. Good.
It has to be specified.
The point. Okay, so if you look at Tosas only up to this point, if you take the first day of Tosas against Rashi, which is that it's chatz, that it's davar shein b'mida minyan mishkal, and that's the makar for shvua, and you put that together with the previous Tosas that the parshios of kefil and shvua are one, which he refers to here as well, you get a certain impression. At the same time, in the very end of the previous Tosas, seemed to be bothered about how it is that Gneva B'davar Shein Mesuyam is really going to be excluded, and he seems to have to operate with Gilgul Shvua. What bothered Tosas? Why did Tosas say that? What bothered Tosas? Tosas is saying, if every Toin Tan has gone and needs a Shvua, and Einish Boim Al Davar Shein Mesuyam, because in the same Parsha, so then obviously there's no Gneva either. Right, so what's Tosas' answer? Gilgul Shvua. You'll have a situation where B'Torah Shvua, right, there would be no Shvua, but since Megalgin love Shvua, Tosas assuming that you're Megalgal Shvua, Davar Shein Mesuyam. And if you're Megalgal Shvua, B'Davar Shein Mesuyam, he's also assuming that this Toin Tan is Ganav, B'Gilgul Shvua. Okay. Which is what he assumed previously. Tosas on the Ramasul Yatsu Karkos, that's what the Marsha points out, you know, gives a similar answer. Tosa says, right, Tosa, you're reading the one on Samech Beis on Beis.
Yeah.
But, okay. Again, Tosa asks the question there, why do you have to be Mimait Vadim Karka Shtaros from Toin Tanis Gana? It's already Mimuat Mishvua, Gilgul Shvua. Okay. That's Tosas's, the Marsha says, but there's another answer to Tosas, it's called Hani Chad Kro, you don't need it. So the Marsha points out, there seems to be an argument on that point. If it's all written in one pasuk, but it applies to two categories, do you still need it to be independent in each category or not? That's Tosas. The fact that Tosas here was bothered by this question implies that Tosas thinks, even though they're gone like three quarters of the way there, which is to say, the Parsha of Kefil, the Parsha of Shvua is one Parsha, nonetheless, if it's one parsha, and what applies to one applies to the other across the board, there still has to be hechatimtzis in which each one is affected independently. One could have said, answered Tosa's question, well, this is one halacha, it's not two halachos that apply to two things because they're in one parsha. The reason that davar sheinu mesuyam is ein bo toin tainas gana, it's not a din in kefel. It's a din in the shvua of Toin Tan is gone. Right? Same thing is true if you look at the end of this Tosas. Davar Shein Mesu, you might as well get it on the record. I'm going to stop here in like 2 minutes. Go ahead. V'yesh Svarim, the Garsi Lekaman, the very end of Tosas, which is otherwise going exactly in the same derech as before. Right, except for now we have three pshatim in Davar Shein Mesuyim so far. Rashi, which we'll get back to. The second pshat of Tosas, Chatzis Ayis, which we'll also have to get back to. The first pshat is the one where we have this tremendous overlap, right? The mida minyan mishkal. Go ahead. But then he says the yesh svarim. Go ahead.
The yesh svarim the garasi the kamon by ganav itself, according to the man diyamer who says that that there's a separate makar that suye davar sheinu mesuyam davar sheinu mesuyam is included for kefel of a regular ganav, even though here it is excluded for kefel by toyin tenef ganav. Ve'in nireh. And why would I have thought to compare Gneva and Gzela to each other to begin with?
Gneva and Toentan is Ganeth.
Sorry, Toentan is Ganeth and Gneva to begin with.
Very important line. Go ahead.
The Itzvich Kral Le'asuye. The Apa Gavdin and Mematino Le'in and Toentan is Ganeth and Kefel. The Ganeth Atzmo Mehecha Asi. Elo Limu'ute Garas. It's excluding it, and there's two mutin, one by Toentan is Ganeth, one by Ganeth Atzmo to exclude Dabashinim.
So this is very ironic. Okay, not problematic, but very ironic. Basically, Tosfos was bothered by the Girsa La'asuye, because he said, Ma'inyan Gonev, Ma'inyan Toni Tanis Ganev L'Gneva. You know, of course they're different, and they're different without a limud. So therefore, it came to the conclusion that what? That it's not a La'asuye, but a Lamute. So that the halacha actually applies to both. It's ironic. In other words, if you ask, is the relationship between Toin Tanis Ganav and Ganav going to be closer? Right. You know, if they share the same halacha or if they differ. So we would all have said, well, you know, if there's discrepancies, then it seems like they're two different dinim. But the way it ends up in Tosfos is exactly the opposite. If you have the girsa that shows there's a discrepancy, the problem with that is it assumes an affinity. So therefore, we should conclude that there's an exclusion, right, and that they have the same halacha that, of course, you need because they're two completely different dinim. Let me just finish up the line. V'afal pi shesmai b'kad avatzon pasuk arishon ein mai b'kad pasuk achron ad shemai d'kasa behedja d'karkos avadim shtaros yitzrich l'mute v'lo yafinim had the same idea. Okay, so that's why I say Tosfos almost giveth, you know, but then he completely taketh awayeth. Okay, so there are really two issues here, but there are other Rishonim who are more generous. I prefer the other approach, so it's not a question of generosity. There are Rishonim who go all the way with this idea, and basically say that the whole halacha of davar she'enu mesuyam is just a halacha in Shvuah. Well, let me say there are Rishonim who say it in two different ways. Number one, there's a group of Rishonim that simply say that Davar She'enu Mesuyam in this Gemara refers only to Shvuas Moda B'Miktzas. Which means it's not even a halacha necessarily in Toin Tanis Ganav. Unless you say Toin Tanis Ganav requires Moda B'Miktzas. That is Shitas who? Who holds that way? In Davar She'enu Mesuyam? What? Who said that? Somebody said the word, somebody said Raivit, right? I think I heard Raivit. Just hearing what I want to hear? It's Raivit. Okay. Okay.
There's only one thing to say even
here. Yeah, and that's also Shita Saramban, Shita Mekubetzes, and one day in the Meiri, right? That's a group of Rishonim. According to them, Davar She'enu Mesuyam is not our time. It's a Bar Metzia halacha. So, in terms of what bothered us, oh my. Is there the remaining echo of limits of Kefel or a connection to Dalet V'Hei? No, not at all. Davar She'enu Mesuyam, nothing to do with anything. What about the Rambam, Daniel?
I don't think he mentioned
the Rambam never mentions Davar She'enu Mesuyam. Okay. Not in Toin Tanis Ganav and not in Ganav. Omits it completely. The Rashash was bothered by this. He mentions it, but then he says, "Well, but the Rambam says the Rashash says maybe it depends on this Gemara versus the continuation, which you still have to read the Shaka Vitari quickly. Samach Gimel Amid Beis, Samach Dalet Amid Aleph. Right? Do we really learn? Is this parsha really contain Ganav and Toin Tanis Ganav? Right? Or Ganav Lachud Toin Tanis Ganav Lachud, which is part of our bigger issue, the relationship between them. So the Rashash says one could have said." That the different views of the Gemara, how to read the Pesukim in Mishpatim, will dictate whether Davar She'enu Mesuyam is limited to Toin Tanis Ganav, or it applies to Ganav as well. says, however, what bothers me is that the Rambam omits it, Milchos Gneva, even though it seems like the Rambam holds that the Parsha is speaking about both Ganav and Toin Tanis Ganav. So it must be that even though he doesn't mention it, he holds that Ganav and Toin Tanis Ganav both have the exclusion of Dover Shein and Mesuya. But the fact is that the Rambam doesn't mention it in either place. So the Or Sameach has a pilpul on this also. He says, pilpul, which is lechidude. He tells you in the end that it's lechidude. He says, why did the Rambam not mention this halacha? And then he says, however, to be honest, it's a good pilpul. He says, but I really don't think that's the pshat in the Rambam. He says, the Rambam probably just held like the Ribi Gash. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes, the tshuva of the Ribi Gash, Ribi Gash was asked about these issues. The Ribi Gash says what the Rashash wanted to say. Except that he adds an important extra line. Rimi Gash says, Lahalacha, once we decide that the Parsha is really mostly speaking about Toin Tanis Ganav, so we should be Mechalik between Dover Shein Mesuyim and Toin Tanis Ganav, and in Ganav, there is a discrepancy. And the Girsa of Lasuyi was asked about the Girsa of Lasuyi. Lasuyi is right, in Ganav there is Dover Shein Mesuyim, is also Kefil, but not in Toin Tanis Ganav. So I was getting very excited. That's the Rimi Gash. That's also the Piskei Hariyaz. They hold that way, l'halacha. And if you look at the Or Sameach says, despite my pilpul, probably the Rambam just holds like the Rimi Gash. Except that it doesn't seem like in Toin Tanis Ganav it applies either. What did the Or Sameach mean? What he meant is, well, if you look at the Rimi Gash, first you get very excited. Oh, an important discrepancy between Toin Tanis Ganav and Ganav, the kind of thing that we're looking for. Or at least on the alert for. But if you look at the Rimi Gash, it's very important. The Rimi Gash says, you know why? Because Toin Tanis Ganav needs Shvua. And the real din of Dover Shein Mesuyam is a din in Shvua. What Tosis almost gave, but didn't go so far to say. It's one parsha, Shvua and Toin Tanis Ganav. So if that's the case, obviously it doesn't apply to Ganav. What I'd prefer to find is that distinction exists between Ganav and Toin Tanis Ganav, to be interesting, in other words, that Toin Tanis Ganav and Ganav are different when it comes to the requirements of Dover Mesuyim for Kefel, but not technically, or only technically, because of the requirements of Shvua. By the way, ironically, since we're talking about the Or Sameach, applying the Or Sameach's own standard, and if you had a Toin Tanis Ganav without a Shvua, right? So then it would apply Bein B'Davar Mesuyim, Bein B'Davar Shein Mesuyim, even in Toin Tanis Ganav. Okay, what I'm trying to find is, even if the Or Sameach were right, and you could have Toin Tanis Ganav without, and even if he's wrong, and you can only have it with Shvua, but it's not because of the din of Davar Shein Mesuyim in Shvua per se. For example, let's say you define it differently. Let's say Dover Shein Mesuyam in Shvua is only, as far as we know, only applies to Midah Minyan Mishkal. But let's say Dover Shein Mesuyam here is either Rashi's Pshad or the Pshad of Chatzi Egos Chatzi Rima. There's only Chatzi Egos Chatzi Rima in Shvua. So then we would have a discrepancy between Toin Tanis Ganav per se, not just because of the, maybe parallel with the fact that you require Shvua, you require Dover Mesuyam, but not just because of the din shvua itself. And even if you're a whole like Dar Sameach, it wouldn't matter. That would be very interesting. That would be very important. So I'm going to stop here. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. Sorry, I went a little over. But what we're going to pick up with is, again, we still have to explain Rashi and the third shita. Even according to the middle shita, just to figure out again, is it a din in shvua or is it a din in both? That's what Tosis was saying about Gilgal and Tosis in the end. So we have to figure out these shitos. Then I want to go through the Shakam Tari in light of that, of Toin Tanis Ganav. And then we still have to speak very quickly about Re'ehu Hekdesh and the top of Samech Eumen Aleph, the little Gemara about Gago and Chatzero. So we'll try to finish off tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow is at 10 o'clock.